Welcome to Women in WP,
a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community.
Okay, welcome to the show. I'm Angela Bowman.
And I'm Amy Masson.
And I'm Tracy Epps.
Our guest today is Swahili M, who is the current content marketer for Blog Vault, which is a popular backup tool. They also make Migrate Guru and Malcare. Swahili is joining us from Bangalore, India. Welcome to the show.
Hello, I'm so happy to be here.
As you know, as a regular listener, we start off each episode by asking our guests to tell us about their journey to WordPress. How did you get started?
Well, if I have to be very honest, I wouldn't even call myself someone who's completely into WordPress because I don't happen to use it in my day-to-day life. I started working with Blog Vault, I think about a year and a half ago, and that was my first introduction to the WordPress industry and the ecosystem itself. And I've dabbled in a lot of things while working with them. I tried out outreach for a while. I did cold email outreach for a while. Then I moved to writing content. Then I moved to, now I'm more in a PR role. So I take care of marketing our content, our newsletters. I'm still handling the outreach initiative and trying to be more of a community person. So to all of this, despite the fact that I'm working in the WordPress ecosystem, I myself don't actually use WordPress in my day-to-day life. I have created a website. That was the first task that was given to me when I joined Blog Vault, which was to create a WordPress site and just explore the whole dashboard, try out new plugins. But I think after that, there have been very few times that I actually used WordPress. But that's how I got into it. And I still believe that I'm still a part of the WordPress ecosystem because I'm still contributing to a business, to a company that helps WordPress owners. So yeah, that's me.
As you've gotten into this just in the past year, what have you gleaned is the WordPress ecosystem and just like, what have you learned about WordPress? It's so fascinating to hear from an outsider, like, what is this thing we call WordPress? And have you been to WordCamps and like, what's been your engagement in that whole environment?
So I think when I initially started, it was a complete outsider's perspective. And the challenge for me was I was not just entering a completely new industry or an ecosystem, but I was also completely entering a new phase of my life. But I was moving from being someone who was in college to someone who is now working full time. So my main focus was just, you know, trying to get used to that. And I think in the initial months, it was a very professional thinking that I had towards the idea of WordPress. It was just, you know, this is my job. This is what I got to do. I'm not going to try and get into it as much. But then with time, I realized that I discovered Facebook groups, I discovered podcasts, I discovered that this, even if you don't use WordPress, you can actually still be part of it. And for me, the ecosystem is primarily the repository, the WordPress.org, and I'm part of a few teams there, the marketing team and the docs team. I've done a few tasks here and there, but I haven't really been able to put my time into it. I think the ecosystem also has all these beautiful WordCamps that keep happening. I was supposed to attend WordCamp Asia, but that didn't happen because of the entire COVID situation. But a few of my colleagues did attend, I think, WordCamp Europe and WordCamp Europe and US last year. We actually sponsored them as well as small-time sponsors. And that was a lot of fun, despite the fact that I didn't get to go because I still got to do a lot of the behind the scenes stuff, you know, like making our merchandise, getting those printed, you know, brainstorming on what kind of swag we'd like to take because we wanted to do something that's different. And we wanted to do something that represents, you know, us and India. So we actually, I think we took these really cool fridge magnets from a place called Rajasthan in northern India. It's a complete desert. And they have a very rich, beautiful culture. So we got a bunch of stuff printed from there with designs from their culture. And we took some of those. We also had some fortune cookies and a lot of t-shirts. So despite me not going there, all of that was, I really like got all of that done. So that was still fun for me. And yeah, it was a challenge to figure out how to, you know, ship everything and take it there. So I think I was also in touch with the organizers trying to figure that out. And then we just figured we'd just take it in our luggage in the end. And yeah, that's been my, that was my initial introduction to the entire WordPress ecosystem. I think a few months into it, I was really told that, you know, if you want to actually be good at this, once I transition into a more of a PR role, they told me that I really should use WordPress and I should really just be out there and try to be more part of the community. That's when I joined more groups. I started, you know, applying to a few WordCamps. I knew that once, especially once things got virtual, I figured nothing like it. I can apply to all of them now. So I did apply to be a speaker, and I was so surprised that I was actually asked to be a speaker at WordCamp Kent, which was, I think, a month ago. And that's actually the first time that I really got to, yeah, I just applied thinking, hey, let's, you know, let's just try it out. And then suddenly I had to actually give an entire talk, which was so, it was exhilarating. I think I stayed up till about 4 a.m. trying to record it because it was too noisy during the day. And yeah, I think that's when I really realized that this is fun and this is what it is to be part of the community. And I get to talk to a lot of people, even though I might not personally know a lot of people, whether it's through podcasts. I've been listening to you guys even before I think we reached out and decided to do the sponsorship with you. And I think that, yeah, yours was one of the first ones I heard. No, actually, I heard WP and Up before that, which is now Big Orange Heart. So I think that's where it started from. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun for me so far. There's so many aspects to WordPress besides just building a website or coding. You know, you have forums that you can be part of. I've also tried to answer a few tickets on the repo that we get for our plugin, and just try to be of help wherever possible. So I think it really makes me feel like I'm doing something and I can, I'm trying to add value wherever I can. So yeah, it's more of a community and uplifting feeling for me than using WordPress. Yeah.
What was your talk on in Kent?
So yeah, it's actually something I never really spoke about before openly. It was about my journey with ADHD and how I transitioned, how the transition from being someone who was in college to being someone who was a full-time marketer. And it was quite challenging, at least in the very beginning, because I think, you know, until last year, I mean, I was studying, I was in college, I was in school. I still had a certain sense of control over, I would say, my friends, the kind of crowd that I'm in, the kind of people that I'm meeting, because, you know, you don't just go up to strangers and talk to them as much in college. You find your own gang and you find your own people and you talk to them. But being pushed into a job, I mean, you have no control over the kind of people you're going to meet, your colleagues or who you're going to end up talking to. So that was very interesting for me. And the entire aspect of having to focus and get work done for about 8 hours a day was, oh my God, that was a complete wave that hit me really badly in the beginning. But I eventually learned to make do with it. So that's what my talk was about. It was about how I started and the challenges that I had initially and how I managed to overcome it. And a very big part of my talk was also in lines with how the community helped me and just, you know, being part of something, how that can really make you feel motivated and make you feel like wanting to do more.
Yeah, when you first started, were you actually in the office? Because for me, the big shift was when I first joined the workforce, we were still kind of in cubicles, which is much easier for someone with ADD or ADHD. And then everyone shifted to these open office environments, which was so great for, supposed to be so great for collaboration. Terrible for anyone with ADD, ADHD.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
So like, did you actually have to go into a physical office? You have to navigate that space as well?
Yes. I think now when I look back, I realize that was an absolute boon for me because Right now we're working from home for the last, I think, 3 or 4 months, and it's been so tiring and challenging to try and just focus while I'm at home, because you don't feel like focusing at home. And yeah, I definitely miss being in an office. And thankfully, I think, I don't know if it was because nobody really had the guts to come and talk to me about it, but people let me just be weird at work. So whenever I was not being able to focus, I'd just go into a conference room, go in and sit alone by myself, sit on the floor, go into the kitchen. You know, I'd do whatever I wanted to work. I'd just go sit on the terrace. And people just left me alone and let me do it. So I think that was something that really helped me even at work. And there was a set system in place which kicked in, I think about a month after working. We have this system where, you know, you wake up in the morning, you go to work, you take the train, you start working at 10, and then you take a break at 12, you have lunch at 1, you take a walk, you work some more, then you take another tea break, and then you work some more, and then I go home. So there was this entire routine that was in place, which completely got shot once we started working from home. So I definitely do miss the work environment, and I believe that was something that really helped me overcome the ADHD side of things.
Oh yeah, like for me, I remember the struggle, because I need that schedule. I mean, that really helps to have that routine.
Yeah.
And I'm lucky. I was able to. I still rent an office space for my own company, even when working in an office. So that, you know, if I really needed to focus, I could go there, because I found I couldn't work from home because I had all of these other distractions. Then the pandemic hit, and then we're all stuck at home. And at first I was like, okay, well, this is great. Now I can focus on all these things, on these other distractions. Well, now everything else, but now the routine is gone.
Yeah.
So now that kind of, you know, rattled everything, but yeah.
Do you actually end up working more hours than you used to before?
Well, usually yes. So when I actually first started my company, I have a 2-bedroom house, and I had just converted my second bedroom into like an office, into my office, and I worked from there. And some people say that they have, like, they can't work from home because there are all these distractions. Mm-hmm. I had the opposite problem, where I couldn't not work from home. As soon as I was up, I was like, okay. And then I was trying to be very strict. I go into my physical office space to work. And then it started to be on the couch. And then it was in the bedroom. And then I was like, everywhere in the house was my office. And then I couldn't relax. Laundry piled up because I had to work, you know. Yeah. Or I was like, if I was home, I was like, well, I have no excuse. I could be working right now. And I found the opposite problem. So when I started, you know, renting shared spaces with people in like smaller settings where I had more control over, that's how I found my methods of doing that. So, but that took years, like years.
Yeah,
well, out of college, it was no way. So it's an amazing extra feat that you have to overcome coming right out of college.
I see that too, where you have to, you know, you're working. I don't move around. Like, I work at my desk because I have a giant monitor system that isn't very convenient to move. But I do, like, I'll be cooking dinner. I'm like, oh, I can just go respond to this email. Or, you know, we're watching TV. Oh, I got to go fix this website for somebody. And if you only work at your office, then I don't think you do that as much.
That's true. Yeah, I've thought of that. Yeah.
Amy, you could just put it on wheels and just roll it around, right?
If I could roll it outside, because, you know, the weather's been really nice this week, that would be ideal. But like, I see people with their laptops, and that's just not enough screen space for me. I just can't.
Don't you have a pool too? Like, you could put it by the pool?
Wow. Yeah, right? I could just put it, wrap it in some Saran wrap and float. Is that,
I think that works. What could possibly go wrong?
Nothing could go wrong.
I actually did build a website on the back of a cruise ship on the deck, watching the water, and we were heading through the Caribbean, and it was just like, you know, like, the work is never ending. Like, so I have a vacation, but, you know, it's like, I just had to get this one website done. And I tried to stay back away so I wouldn't get water on me, but just like hanging out, just like, well, this isn't a bad life. I'll do this for like 2 or 3 hours, and then I'll go, you know.
I literally have a picture of myself sitting on the beach with my laptop, and I was, there was no Wi-Fi, so I was connected to my phone trying to fix something for somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, I've done that. I was at a Web Summit in Portugal in Lisbon, and someone had this major issue on their site, and I was in this museum. So I just sat down on a bench with my phone and got on their website.
Yeah, I downloaded some like code editor for my like phone one time, and I was like, this is really hard, but I fixed the website.
That's exactly what I did. Too much work. But I do love your schedule. I mean, I want the schedule documented. Okay, so let me get this again. You take the train, by the way, which I love taking the train. And yes, we don't have that in the US. And that's what I love about Europe.
Yeah, at some places, just not where
that's true, not where we live. Yeah. Midwest, West, no trains, East Coast, some. So you take the train, you start work at 10 a.m. And you take a little walk, or you take a little break at noon?
So yeah, I take a break around at noon. Yeah, and I just probably go to the terrace or just go to the kitchen and get some.
Yeah. And then you take a lunch at 1, which I imagine your lunch is fabulous.
No, we actually had lunch was given by the company. So we had like a proper caterer who gave us good food, which I miss now.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Me too. So do you need any other help? Or I'll just come and hang out.
Just come and hang out.
Oh, yeah. One great advantage was that so our office is in one of the most happening places in Bangalore. So we have so many restaurants there that even if you don't feel like having lunch at work, you could just hop to another place, just walk there and just, you know, eat whatever you wanted. And I think that was the best part about being there, which I miss so much now that I'm at home. I can't just... We had this really good gelato and ice cream place 2 doors away, which I don't have right now. And I was used to eating there at least once or twice a week. And there's no ice cream within 3 kilometers of my house. I've actually gone and searched and no one has ice cream. So
I would weigh like a million pounds because I would just eat my way through that city.
Yeah.
Well, you do get to walk a lot.
You definitely should come. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, and then tea time. What time is tea?
So tea time used to be at around 5. That was a break that I think the entire office used to take. There was this little store outside opposite our work, and we just go get some coffee or a sandwich and just take a walk if we wanted, or go get some ice cream. So yeah, I think that was something we really look forward to at between 5 to 6, just for about 15-20 minutes. And then I finished work by, I think initially I was working till almost 8:39. And then I slowly started, you know, trying to make myself finish things a little earlier. And I think since last August, I joined a gym. It's not really a gym, but it's more classes. And they had one of their gyms, which was very close by to the office. So I'd finish everything by 7:30. And then I said, it was just 2 bus stops away. So I just take a bus and go to that gym. And I had a class at 8. So I think since August onwards, I was working only till about 7:30. But before that, I was working almost till 8:39-ish.
So you kind of had, if you work from 10 to 8, that's really, wow, that's a 10-hour.
Yeah.
But you have all these breaks. Which is kind of like how I work. I pretty much start work at, officially start work at 10. I work till 7:30 or 8, but then I have good breaks. Like I have a really good lunch, or I might have an my exercise class before I start working, but I'll take nice little breaks. But I used to not be that way, because kind of the more American way would be like you work from 7:30 to 5:30 and you're
heads down,
and
just like
head down half an hour. But like I realized, like in my kind of work and doing all this coding and stuff, I can focus for a solid hour, and then I kind of my brain gets tired and I have to get up and walk around, and then I can come back and focus for another hour, especially at home. Like at work, for some reason I can focus longer, but I find hour increments. But I love the 2 hour, take a break, another hour, take some lunch.
Yeah,
it sounds so much healthier.
Yeah, that was very encouraged at work, now that I think about it. I'd always find at least one person taking a short nap at any time during the day. At least one person in the office.
Naps are so great.
Yeah, and we also had this huge screen and this huge TV. Yeah, a TV. And you could play FIFA, you could watch Netflix, whatever you wanted for a while. And yeah, that really helped. Being able to take that break really, it's just like you got off and you just recharged and you came back. And it would really help with focus, which is something that's lacking now. I feel like the entire day feels like a break to me. And yeah, it's been a challenge trying to focus through all of that.
I think that's a good point though, too. Yeah.
You said a term, weird at work. And I'm just wondering, is that like unusual? Is that is not everybody weird at work?
Everyone is weird, but I think compared to the others, I was a little bit more weird than usual. No one else, you know, sat on the floor trying to work or went to the canister work. That was just me. And I think that's why, I think everyone just let me be, despite all of that, they let me do whatever I wanted. And for me, it was primarily because of the fact that I couldn't focus for long. When Angela said that she can work for an hour straight, that's very hard for me. So yeah, I would need to make myself keep doing something different, doing something new, even just moving around or trying to work in a different space, that would really help me. So I think I don't remember most people trying to do that. They would be able to get into that zone and work for a much longer time. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I find that those breaks, because I've done it. I'm like, okay, well, I have this deadline. I just need to like barrel through it, you know, right? I never get things done, but I take a break. And then I come back to it and I was like, oh, okay, now I can focus on things. So I think that's really smart. And I think, well, now everyone's working from home. So now we kind of have more control over that. But I think businesses were starting to kind of get that, you know, that idea of, oh, well, we need to have more of that flexibility on the coasts, I should say that. The Midwest is still about 10 years behind, you know, so they're still like, whatever. But I mean, I think that's really smart, and it's really good to know yourself and how you work, because otherwise you're just going to, like, get yourself frustrated.
Yeah.
When you were in college, what were you studying there?
Well, I did a very, I'm going to say generic, because it is a generic course. I did something called a BCom, which is a Bachelor's of Commerce, and that covered a lot of topics under just business. So we had marketing, we had a lot of accounts that I had to learn, a lot of accounting, and a lot of financial management and organizational behavior. Yeah, a bunch of stuff that's actually part of it. And the reason I'm saying generic and not being very enthusiastic about it is because I think at least the college that I went to, and in general, the Indian educational system is quite bookish. So, when I actually started working, I realized that there was hardly anything that I'd learned during college that might have helped me at my work. I mean, no one teaches you, you know, what is SEO or what is, what is digital marketing all about. It's something I learned completely on the job. So, yeah, I did. That's what I studied. But I think one thing that really helped me from college was interacting with people. I went to a college which had this so much diversity in terms of the kind of people that you meet. You know, you have people from all parts of India and all parts of the world, actually. So that's one thing that I would really take back, that I got to learn to interact with people. So, yeah.
And how did you get connected with Blog Vault? How did, you know, not being in the WordPress community, how did that happen?
Very honestly, it was someone that I knew someone who worked at Blog Vault, and we happened to meet somewhere, and they told me that, you know, we're looking for, we have applications, you can apply, we have a job opening. And I tried and I managed to get through. I remember my first interview, I just had one interview actually, and one phase of that was they gave me an entire task, which was to, all right, so if the situation was that there's a WordPress site and it's been hacked and you don't have access to the back end, so how are you going to try and access it? You don't have access to the dashboard, sorry. And that was the first time I even realized that WordPress has a dashboard. And I remember trying to They gave me about half an hour to figure it out, and I was absolutely stumped. And then I started Googling, and I found there's something called FTP, and I tried that, and I tried cPanel, and I broke that site actually when I was trying to figure the thing out. But they hired me because I was able to just at least get a start on what I'm supposed to do. So I think that's how I actually got in touch with Blogger and managed to get the job here.
I love that you broke the site. Yeah, I don't think you're a real person in WordPress if you haven't broken a site.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm just glad they didn't ask me to fix that later. So, because I would not have been able to do that. But yeah, that's, it was just through a friend of mine who mentioned that they're hiring. And I think for a very long time, I thought the company was called Blog World, and I will have to probably do some sort of blogging for them. And then I realized nothing to do with that. That's how I got into it.
And so you've had to learn WordPress just kind of on the job. What are you doing to learn it and educate yourself?
I think, like I mentioned, the first week that we started working, I was told that my only task during that week is to just understand WordPress. There were a couple of courses they told me to do, a lot of links. They have this entire onboarding document that they gave. And I got to create my own site. I got to try out all these different plugins and try to add as much functionality as I could. And I think at the end of it, I created a site where it was about, I think it was, I had music, lo-fi music for concentration. And I had a blog, which was about mental health. And I had a WooCommerce store where I could sell tea. That's what my entire website there was. So I maintained that for a while, though I wasn't actually selling there. I did maintain that for a while, but then I think after a point that kind of dropped off. And besides that, I did get a chance to work on our own company websites, Blog World, Malcare, do a few, some of the drafting and publishing of content that I wrote. And besides that, just I think in the last 2 months, I've actively been trying to get back at it. So I created another website. And this time I tried the first time I was doing it last year, they gave me the whole hosting, they gave me everything I needed. This time I tried to just set all of that up by myself. And then I created a website, and now I'm still trying to power through and find more things to work on. I've actually been trying to take a couple of courses as well. There's WP101 that I was using to try, and they have a huge course on things that you can do with WordPress. So yeah, I've been trying to use that to build it more.
Okay, not WordPress related. Do you find tea helps with your focus?
Yes, but I think I'm partial towards coffee, which is ironic because I think up till I started working, I did not like coffee. And it's only after I started working that I realized I need coffee, even if I don't like it. So since then, I've been more of a coffee person. But yeah, I do like tea. Green tea, and I like trying different kinds of things out. And I don't know how you guys make it there, but we call it chai here in India. And it's like a staple thing that we have, and everyone has every day in the evening. And we make it with milk and tea leaves, and we put stuff like ginger and cinnamon. I don't even know what you call that in English. We call it elaichi. I'm not sure what you call that.
Elaichi.
Okay, I'll find the word for it. Yeah. So yeah, I do like tea.
I'm a coffee girl, but I didn't start drinking coffee until I had children, because then I would have my baby and I would be up all night. And so I'd get up in the morning, and in order to function, I needed to have coffee. And now I'm just addicted, and that's, you know. But it does help me work. I feel like when I have my coffee cup and I'm just sitting here drinking and then it's empty, it just, I don't work as well.
I have like all sorts of tea. And then there's one company that has loose leaf tea that is fandom. They call fandom things. So I have all of these tea things that have Doctor Who related.
That's a Doctor Who box. Yeah.
Exactly. They all have different designs on them. And I never got into coffee, and I actually didn't like tea until my 30s, I think. And then once I started doing that, and I feel like it helps me work. But again, it's one of those, I was like kind of experimenting with things and it depends on a lot of different aspects of it. But yeah, I wish we had more of a tea culture here in the US, but well, whatever.
I'm totally a tea drinker. I love Darjeeling. It's my favorite tea. And I know the Kashmir region, all the, where they make Darjeeling is going to be impacted by climate change and political things as well. And and yeah, I like English breakfast tea, Scottish breakfast tea, like all the black teas. And I drink tea all day long. And I love, love, love coffee, but I'm an angry coffee drinker. I get like this edge. Like I want it. I'm like, I know this can make me think better, but then I'm just like a little just sharp around the edges when I drink it. So for the well-being of my clients and my friends and my family, I drink in the afternoon. I have a decaffeinated cappuccino, and that's about the safety level of
the tea. I don't think I've ever tried decaffeinated.
Yeah, but tea, I can drink tea all day long and it doesn't make me angry. It has a different chemical property. I'm big into tea, and we have a tea house here where you can take classes and learn about all the teas and where they come from. And
you wouldn't like Angela when she's angry.
I'll take your word for it.
I don't know. I've never seen her angry.
I know, right?
Everyone thinks I'm so sweet. Then they're like, whoa. Don't give her any coffee.
I think we need to spike her tea with coffee and just see what happens.
Well, and then I talk too much. If I have have caffeine, I will just cannot stop talking.
That's a good experiment.
We could do like an episode where we give Angela coffee and see what happens. And then I also think that'd be fun to do like a Women in WordPress drunk episode.
Ooh, yes. Coffee.
Yes. That would, I mean, yep.
That's what
I feel like it would be pretty much the same, but just
tell us about, so what, you know, we're in this special time. We call it the special time. You know, global pandemic is a special time in history. We are living through this. We will tell our grandchildren and great grandchildren, if we have them, about living through the 2020 global pandemic. What is it like in Bangalore? And I know Mumbai has some unique challenges, you know, different parts of India have unique challenges, and Bangalore is much more of a tech hub, and there's a whole different vibe happening in Bangalore, but what are you seeing, and are there different levels of experiences people are having there right now?
So with Bangalore, I think we went into a complete lockdown situation about 4 months ago. And we had that go on for almost a month and a half. And then they slowly started opening things up. And currently we're at a state where everything's open. You have malls open. You have, I think besides the trains, all kinds of public transport are open as well. So it's completely functional right now. But the number of cases have dramatically increased, especially in the last month. That's where we are right now. And like you mentioned, it's a tech hub. So I think more than half the population here are people who are working for IT companies. So thankfully, for a lot of us, we were able to still adapt to the work from home culture. But I know a lot of restaurants and a lot of, you know, considering that it's an IT hub, you also have an equal number of restaurants and pubs and whatnot. And all of those, they definitely take a hit. But I think we relatively still manage to power through because we have a great system of delivery. Even before the entire pandemic, I think we were so used to using food delivery apps that it didn't really make much of a difference after. But I think for the initial month or so, it was quite a challenge for people to just get groceries and just be able to go out of the house. And again, when you consider the fact that it's an IT hub, it means that you have a lot of companies and a lot of buildings, you have a lot of infrastructure, which means that a very big chunk of the population are people who were daily wage workers who probably work in infrastructure and construction. And it definitely affected them in terms of, it negatively affected them once the pandemic and lockdown situation hit, because they were not able to go back to their place, wherever they're from, and they definitely could not afford to live here. So there was a lot of challenges at that point. There were a lot of organizations which were delivering food for free, you know, to people who were needy, people who were old, people who didn't live with anyone. And we had a lot of people also working on trying to help these migrant workers get back to where they're from. So I think Bangalore relatively handled it, I think, pretty much this as well as you possibly can say. But the cases have dramatically increased over the last month. But like you mentioned, Mumbai had its own challenges. I have a lot of friends there, and from what I know, it's pretty much the capacity has been reached a very long time back, and it's getting really hard there. They have a lot more cases than Bangalore does, and they do not have the infrastructure to actually handle it. They don't have enough beds, they don't have enough hospitals, and yeah, it's a much more worse situation there. But I think relatively Bangalore has managed to get through the worst of it.
Well, my heart really goes out to India because, you know, there's so many unique challenges with crowding and poverty and, you know, and Mumbai has the different encampments that are very dense and it would be impossible to socially isolate. And
Mumbai has one of the biggest slums in the world. So, yeah, definitely it's been a great challenge.
Yeah, it's where Slumdog Millionaire was filmed. I mean, that's, yeah, it's just... You know, it's a very scary time, and you're still working at home.
Yeah.
How long do you think you'll be working from home?
Oh, for quite some time. We were actually told last month that, you know, they told us to just set up everything that we wanted. You know, get a desk, get a monitor, whatever you need. Reverse all of it, just make sure you have an entire setup at home because we're going to be working from home for quite some time. And actually, I think out of the 20 people at work, more than 14 to 15 of them were not from Bangalore. They were from, we had a lot of people from Kashmir, we had people from Gujarat, a lot of places in northern India, Bengal. So most of them went back to their hometowns, and very few of us are actually still here. So yeah, I think we're going to be continuing. And it's worked out pretty well for us in the working situation. We're still able to meet that same sense of productivity and get things done. So we're going to be continuing with this for at least another 2 months.
Except for the gelato.
Oh man, yeah. I really wish that they could deliver till here, but I live very far away from where they always was, so there's no chance of that.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been great talking to you. Before we go, can you tell everybody where they can find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at it's Swahili, which is SWWAHILY. And yeah, I'm also part of a lot of Facebook groups, so you can definitely hit me up and just say hi there.
Awesome. Well, yeah, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you. I do see you like
I had a lot of fun.
So that's great.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun. I honestly did not know what I'm going to talk about. So, yes, it's been great. Thank you so much for making me so comfortable. Yes, I really
thank you. Thank you for listening. Interested in being on the show? Sign up on our website, womeninwp.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and join our Facebook group to have conversations with other women in WordPress.